There is something about the testimony that instinctively breathes into our soul a courage for radical obedience. It's a part of the process. It's how you keep strong in your confidence and faith in God. Psalm 78, are you there? We'll start right with verse 3. He's referring to dark sayings and parables. He says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. What just happened there? Now think while you're reading this. They are being exhorted to train their children on not only the report of the law of God, the commandments, but to train them with the report of his wonderful works, which is what? That's a testimony. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. So if you can see, this was a pattern of a value system for the spoken or written record of all that God's done to be given to this generation, that they would give it to the next generation, they'd give it to the next generation. Now it tells us why, and this is important. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God. There's something about the testimony that conditions or positions a child or an adult to position himself to place hope in God when a trial comes. Their instinctive response is, I'm going to trust God. He's the God who works wonders. I don't understand what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm going to trust him. Where did that come from? It came because the cloud of their heart, so to speak, was seeded with this thought that God is faithful in impossible situations. So here it says, that they may set their hope in God and not forget his works, the works of God, keep his commandments. Are you guys still alive?
Yes.
You sure you're still alive? All right. What I want you to notice is not forgetting the works of God and keeping the commandments. The testimony and the courage to obey, they're connected. This is really a big deal. Because what we do for ourselves, what we do for our children, our grandchildren, we set the stage for them to have courage. Because it takes courage to obey God.
Yeah.
It takes courage. We want courageous obedience, radical obedience. Out of my life, that's what I want. So here he says, we keep the testimony going multiple generations. Why? So that they'll put hope in God and that they won't forget the works of God and they'll have the courage to obey God. Now, he illustrates it in the next three verses. All right? Verse 9, that the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Okay, walk through these three verses with me. Verse 9, the children of Ephraim are armed. In other words, they're prepared for battle. They're skilled. They're trained for battle. They've got all the equipment necessary. He said, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. So why did they turn back why did they become cowardly when there was a conflict? Verse 10 tells you, because they didn't keep the covenant of God, they refused to walk in his law. How many know if you're not walking in obedience, spiritual warfare is not where you want to be? Because you become very vulnerable. So they turned back in a day of battle. Why? Because they had not been walking in obedience. Why weren't they walking in obedience? Verse 11, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. There is something about the testimony that instinctively breathes into our soul a courage for radical obedience. It's a part of the process. It's how you keep strong in your confidence and faith in God. What happens if the testimony of the Lord, if we decline in sharing testimony, then we see miracles less. Yeah. If we see miracles less, we expect them less.
Yeah.
If we expect them less, we talk about them less. If we talk about them less, we see them less. There's this downward spiral into the point where miracles have become a mere part of our history. Some time ago, God used to do such and such, which is where so much of the church is right now. It was in their history. It was in Israel's history. It was in the book of Acts. It was the memory of something that happened back there, but it's not a current reality. It's not a present tense experience. And the testimony is supposed to become that which invites us into this relational journey where we learn how to take these things that God has said, and we simply trust God. We put our lives on the line to take risk to see what he might do. And it's simply because I've been built up by the record of the supernatural interventions of God. I love it when God will give us a glimpse of what he's doing, because it's fun to gain an understanding. But oftentimes he moves and I'm just clueless. I'm a clueless observer that is just frantically trying to learn. I'm not a facilitator in the sense that I made anything happen. I've told him, I said, God, I just want to be in the room. It doesn't have to come from me. I just want to be a part. And there are things that he does. The moment in Dallas where pray for this individual who, with the lightning of God, literally goes through him from head to toe, and he's completely delivered and healed of schizophrenia. Completely, he comes to me a year later in his right mind completely, because God brought a miracle to him. He ended up going to Africa and ministered. I think he personally was able to bring liberty and freedom through his own testimony to about 40 people that were considered insane, mentally gone. It's a testimony. It's like God has imagine being given a priceless gem. If somebody comes to you and says, I'll give you $1 million if you can wear this ring, it's worth $10 million, you can't lose it, but you have to wear it. You can't put it, hide it away. How many of you think you've got that ring on your hand, you're going to be looking at it all day long, you're going to be wrapping tape, you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff to make sure we don't lose this thing, all right? I'm aware of the value of what's on my hand. Are you aware of the value of what's in your mouth? It's the record, it's the revelatory testimony of the heart, the nature, the covenant of God that actually invites people into a personal relationship with Jesus. Paul, when he was in trouble, he would revert to his personal story, into his own testimony. It's not just the miracles of healing. It's the deliverance. It's salvation. It's the greatest miracle of all. And everybody in this room has that kind of a story. I believe that God wants to give us an upgrade. And this will sound a little strange, but actually the whole thing's been rather strange. So if you want to change the atmosphere of a room, go to, say a restaurant. You go into a restaurant, 3 or 4 people, sit down and take the first 20 minutes only to share miracle stories. I don't mean miracle stories so that you impress people around you. I mean so that the atmosphere changes, because the angelic realm is fascinated by your perspective of Jesus, the Son of God. And they love hearing the stories of what you've had happen, what you've seen, what you know about him. They are enthralled with him. But every story we share, they catch another glimpse of what he's like through the eyes of someone who is redeemed. Simply sharing stories. I feel like the Lord would just give us an upgrade in this area. We're going to be touching, I'm thankful beyond words on what I've seen happen, what we've seen happen, what we've seen happen in this room, what we've seen happen in our city. It floors me. Sometimes I get in here early Sunday morning, I just walk around and I just remember, colon cancer was healed here. A woman after 50-some years in a wheelchair gets out right there after a stroke, she walks. Right over here, MS, multiple sclerosis, was healed. West Nile, ME, this same person had several conditions that were healed. Just walk around this room, the guy who was run over by a 14-ton truck completely crushed his ankle, and he receives prayer over here. There's a pop, his ankle turns cold, there's a pop, and it's completely, totally healed, completely healed. Just go through the story, one after the other. The woman who could hardly open her mouth, just very little movement because he broke her jaw 10 years earlier, and there was very little movement, extreme pain to open her mouth wide. The dentist, they didn't have time to give her any kind of Novocaine or anything because of the pain she suffered with. And yet one Sunday morning, just simply praying for those with broken bones, she's instantly, completely, totally healed. Right back over here, a man with prostate cancer that's healed. A woman right down here, a tumor in her breast just simply dissolves. And the stories go on and on and on and on. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. But none of them are badges of honor. They're all records of a God who is willing to work in and through very imperfect people. He just looks for people that have a value for his nature and will give him an opportunity to do what he does best. He works in the impossible. I'm there in the journey. And I believe in this fall season, we've got some stuff coming up in another couple weeks, 3 weeks maybe. We're going to be targeting this even more, not the testimony side, but the miracle realm, because I believe it's a season for an upgrade. It's a season for an upgrade. And it's honestly for everybody in this room. You know, Jesus asked the questions of his disciples once. They were bewildered by the challenge that he had just given them. It's one of these moments, they're literally just beside themselves, bewildered. And so he then asked them this series of questions, and these series of questions have helped me a lot. He asked his disciples, because they were concerned about not having enough food after he had just multiplied food, you know, like the day before, which is, it just comforts me to see other people that think as dumb as I do. And when it's in the Bible, I just feel so much better. And so they're puzzled by this. And then Jesus asked them a series of questions. He says, can you see? And you can tell they're not answering. So he says, can you hear? And they're still just staring. And he says, can you remember? Those questions have helped me incredibly. Because there are times I'm always trying to see. I'm always trying to see, what is God doing? I'm always trying to hear, what is he saying? So let's just say in a moment like this, I'm just trying to discern, what is it the Lord is doing around the room? And so he comes to me and he says, can you see? And my heartfelt response is, no, I don't see anything. So then he says, well, can you hear? Well, my hearing's better than my seeing. But at the moment, I don't hear anything. And then he says, can you remember? Yes, I can. I can remember flying back from New Zealand after having spent some time with a great hero of the faith for me, Winky Pratney. He'd had a stroke. His brain, part of his brain literally just blew up. And he was completely healed, restored in his right mind. I was on the plane thinking about this miracle of healing with the brain. And I recall to my mind, Roland Baker, a wonderful friend of our house, had x-rays of his brain actually dying. And the Lord completely healed him, raised him up. So I'm thinking on the plane flying back from New Zealand, these are the two smartest men I have ever met. And God restored their brains. I'll bet God is healing brains. I'll bet that's what he's doing. Can you see? I don't see it and I don't hear it. But I can remember. And the more I remember, the better I hear. And the more I hear, the better I see. So we came in here on a Sunday, and I called out. I said, God is healing brains. We had right back here. You remember this, Kevin. You were right back here praying for this young lady. She's, in fact, we have the testimony on video. She was dying. She was dying. Terminal systemic lupus of the brain. Chris had a word of knowledge, but somebody had a blow to the head. She's right back there. And she would, when she'd get up in the morning, sometimes she would pass out, and she'd be unconscious for 30 days. 30 days. She's dying of this disease. And Chris has this word of knowledge and pray. Here's this moment. God is healing brains. And what happens? She's completely healed. Her mother looks at her the next morning and says, you look like you did before the accident. Before the accident. She then comes to the School of Ministry. I think she's in Oxford right now. She's in some smart school because she's a smarty. Smarty. So the Lord heals. A young kid over here, he had a head that was misshapen because of abuse. He was 2 years old. I think it was two. And it misshapen. And he was very disconnected. He didn't associate with people. He'd wake up in the morning, he's very disconnected. And some of our students prayed for him after this announcement. God is healing brains. And they pray for this child. The next morning, the child comes into his mother, which is a miracle, comes into the mother and said, I had a dream last night. Excuse me, he was four, so this happened until the time he was two. Said, I had a dream last night. I'm okay now. And they examined him, and his head was back to normal shape. God is healing brains. Why don't you stand? Can you see? Yeah, I'm not seeing much. Can you hear? I try. Sometimes I hear. Can you remember? Can you remember? Folks, listen to me. You have a responsibility. This is not a pastoral issue. This is not a ministry team issue. This is a people of God issue. What have you seen God do? Here's the great news. You may say, I've hardly ever seen anything happen. I mean, my own testimony is a great miracle, but I've never seen healing or deliverance or any of those things. And that's, you know, that's totally fine. I had a long season in my life where I'd never seen anything. But there's a verse in Psalms 119, verse 111, and it makes this statement. The testimony of the Lord is your inheritance forever. Think about it. The testimony of the Lord is your inheritance forever. What is the testimony of the Lord? It's the full record of anything he has ever done on planet Earth. He did it with Moses. He did it with Elijah, with David, with Paul, with whoever. It's your story. It's your testimony. No, you didn't get it. The full record of God's activity with people is your inheritance. Why is that important? Why is that important? Because the scripture says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's the legal basis and the word of your testimony. So now the word of my testimony is not just what I have experienced in my life, but it includes what you've experienced. So I hear your story. That's a part of my weaponry. That's a part of the tools that I use to ensure I walk in victory in this present situation.